So thank you for joining us again today for our time of worship. And today's sermon, again, we're going to be continuing the story of Gideon, someone who is very much like us, constantly needed reassurance. And that's why the title of today's message is Yearning for Reassurance. I think all of us, not when life is going well and there aren't many challenges, we don't need reassurance. But when things aren't going well, I believe that's really when we are tested as a believer. Our faith is shaken. Sometimes it wavers. And God in His mercy actually helps us, sends us signs, encouragement, sometimes through what we see, sometimes through other people. And as we see with Gideon, who is basically a nobody, as he described himself, in the tribe of Israel, he needed reassurance. He wasn't from a royal lineage. He wasn't from a line of mighty men of valor. And Gideon explained this to God. But what we're going to see today is that when God picks someone to accomplish his purpose, God sees differently than we see. And remember, God knows the beginning, the present, and the end of a situation because he's God. He's outside time and space. So God makes a choice, and even though he makes a choice, if he chooses you or I, we're not always sure that he really chose us. And we see this in the story of Gideon, and we've been working through his story, and we see that Gideon, even though he's needed encouragement, has obeyed God's voice. And that shows character also. We're not always confident as believers. We're not always confident in the tasks that God has put before us. It's perfectly natural to be afraid, to doubt. That's fine. As the old saying goes, to err is human. But we can't lose all faith. We can't apostatize. We can't turn against our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ just because we have a crisis of faith. And that's what we're seeing today in today's church. And that's the real sin. We all get scared, including myself, and afraid and intimidated by the circumstances. But you have to speak up. And if you can't speak up, then just move out of the way, as we have been saying. Don't apostatize. Don't turn against God's people to try and save your own neck. And the situation that we are in today, in all the formerly Christian countries, is that we have a government that is against us and our faith. They are a cult of death, and they're doing this for financial reasons. They need as much of the population out of the way. They want to reduce the population as much as they can before their money system falls apart. So for us with little power, as God's people, trying to push a culture of life, which is what we're taught in the Bible, we're going to meet opposition. And just like Gideon, we are facing a massive host, an enemy that's extremely powerful compared to us. And just like Gideon, we've lost a lot of our family, natural family, our family in the faith, and God is actually winnowing down our army. But just like Gideon, if you need to ask for a sign, ask for a sign, but don't lose faith. Easier said than done, I'll admit it myself. So let's pray and then get into our sermon. Almighty God, the living God, we thank you, Lord, that you are merciful. We thank you that we're able to worship you on this day, the Sabbath day. We thank you for what you do for your people. We thank you, Lord, that you're always there to encourage us. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to do so, especially during these trying times where neither you nor your Son nor the Holy Ghost are respected in any way in this culture. And we know, Lord, that so many, even in the church, they want your blessings, but they don't want your commandments. They want the love of Jesus, but they don't want his laws. And we ask, Lord, that we would play our small role. And if it be your will, Lord, that you would use us like Gideon, encourage us to fight your enemies, to fight the good fight, and to keep us strong in our faith. And I pray, Lord, that Fellowship Baptist Church, as a congregation, would always remain faithful to your word. We ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we're in the book of Judges. We're still in chapter 7. The narrative, the story is building up. We see Gideon had the guts to show up to the fight, even though he doubted. And now the moment is at hand where they actually have to fight the Midianites and the other Canaanite type tribes that have overtaken the land because of Israel's unfaithfulness. So we see Gideon getting ready to do battle, and we're going to see in Scripture he's still discouraged. So let's read Judges chapter 7 together and break it down. Now, in the Bible, in some of your subtitles in your Bible, it'll say Gideon's dream. Well, it gets a little confusing. Always remember, it's Gideon's dream. It's a dream that was given to Gideon by someone else, but he didn't actually dream it himself. So it's a little misleading. This was a dream to reassure Gideon, but he didn't have the dream himself, as we're going to see as we read the scripture. So the camps are set up. The men are ready to do battle, and Gideon is still doubtful. So God wants him reassured. He wants him to be able to lead the army without wavering. So this is what happens next, starting at verse 9. We'll work on verse 9 through verse 14 for today. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then he went down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. So Gideon was greatly outnumbered. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay long. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. So let's break this down together so we can see how merciful God is in assuring us and how wonderful he is in answering our prayers, in being there for us when we're filled with doubt. So yes, yearning for reassurance, all of us, myself included. So first, starting with these first couple of verses, just like all God's children, Gideon needs reassurance. Even though he's been given multiple signs declaring his victory, his faith is still wavering. So we see this. Gideon wanted different signs, and one of the famous ones we have read about was the fleece, and miraculously, God kept it dry when the ground was wet, and then he wet it when the ground was dry. But Gideon, like all of us, needs continual reassurance. And to give someone assurance, of course, is to tell them that they'll have success or victory. And then to reassure means you have to do it again. You have to continue to keep somebody on the path to what they need to accomplish. And we all need this. So before we jump on Gideon for constantly needing a sign, let us look at ourselves first, remove the smoke from our own eye before we pick on Gideon. So this is perfectly natural. And again, like we said, just like today, the cost is high to follow God and to fight for him. Because we're in a day just like Gideon faced. The enemy is ruthless. If you lose, there will be no mercy. So it takes courage to speak out and to stand up for the Lord. And this was a physical battle, which sometimes we have to do. So here we see the table is set. Now God knows Gideon is doubting, but he wants him confident. So we see that God in his mercy wants Gideon to be fully confident in his victory. The Lord tells Gideon to journey into the enemy camp himself with Phurah, his servant. So Gideon embraces on a spying mission to evaluate the enemy. And when Gideon heads down to see what's being said, some of the men in the camp, one of the men is speaking to another man. And these are Gideon's enemies now, Israel's enemies. He speaks about a dream he had. So it's Gideon's dream. The dream is a sign for Gideon, but Gideon did not have the dream. So that's where sometimes the confusion comes in. It's not Gideon's dream, but it's meant for him. And one of the men speaks about a barley cake. And this little cake rolls down into the camp, and a tiny cake actually knocks down a tent. Now, if you know what tents were like at that time, it's not like your regular camping tent today. People lived in these things. They were mobile, so their tents were sturdy. They had to stand up to the winds of the desert, the elements of the Near East over there, in the land where they were. The Holy Land today, you still get violent weather and storms, whether it's regular storms, sandstorms. So these were sturdy tents. This was not like, you know, you bought it from a camping store and just posted it up. So these were elements for housing, extremely strong. So to have, for a man to have a dream that a cake, a light, cheap barley cake rolls into a tent and knocks it down was something significant. Now, when this is heard, Phurah later on will encourage Gideon through this. But that's the dream, is that this cake, this barley cake, and you need to know a little bit about ancient times, biblical times. Barley cake was a cheap cake. It's something quick that you could make. This was not an elegant corn muffin or a more valuable type of grain. Barley was something you would make, and you would feed it even to dogs, to pets, to animals that were around that you needed to feed in a pinch. So this cake represented Gideon. Gideon was of a lowly status, like a barley cake. Gideon was no corn muffin, blueberry muffin. Gideon was just a cheap cake. And God was going to use Gideon as his instrument. He wasn't from a mighty line of men, as we've already mentioned. He didn't look the part. And Gideon admitted it himself. But we're going to see that regardless, God is going to use him. And that's the last point in our sermon today. Is that Gideon and Phurah overhear a dream of one of the enemy soldiers. The man dreamed of a lowly cake which rolled into their tents and knocked them down. Phurah exclaimed to Gideon that this is a word from the Lord guaranteeing their victory. And remember this, God's will cannot be stopped by our lack of faith. Our faith gives us the privilege to be used as God's vessel to accomplish his will. So we need to remember this. And this is what the book of Judges, especially chapter 7 with Gideon, is really about. It's not just the miraculous victory, which people mostly focus on. It's everything that led up to it. You need to put yourself in the mindset of Gideon and understand how merciful and reassuring God is. And we all yearn for that. Whatever big step you're taking in life or what you're going through, it could be a marriage, could be buying a house, buying a car, choosing a career, choosing a place to worship, needing to know which side to stand on in a battle, keep asking God for reassurance. And he'll give it to you. Admit to God that you're weak in your faith, in your confidence. Things have shaken you up, whether it's your health, your mental well-being, whatever it is. Give it to the Lord. Ask for reassurance, and he'll give it, just like he gave it to Gideon. So we see that this dream is interpreted as a victory for God's people. And that's what Phurah was explaining to Gideon. He was telling him, this is a sign. this cheap barley cake, which we all use to feed to dogs, and we use it only when we have nothing else, this is you. And Gideon realizes that. So if some cheap cake, food, basic bread, can roll into a camp and into a tent that was made to withstand all the elements and knock it down, then Gideon, who was not of royal birth, had no real power in himself, had a tiny army, can be used miraculously. God will roll Gideon into the Midianites and the other Canaanites with them, and he will knock them all down. And that's our prayer for today. Lord Jesus, help us knock down our enemies. We are nothing special. We have no power. We have no great army behind us. But Lord Jesus, they've taken your nation. They've taken America. They've taken other lands that used to be Christian. And we ask, Lord, for reassurance. We ask for victory. Please, Jesus, help us knock down the Midianites and the Canaanites once again. That even practice in this land the same evil things that the Midianites and the Canaanites at one time practice. Please, Lord, make us a weapon in your hand, as weak as we are. And God always gives reassurance. He always strengthens those with a lack of faith. We not only see this in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament. And we'll end with a reading from Luke today. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 38. Jesus Christ, who was God and is God and will forever be God, gave assurance to St. Peter when he needed it. And the reason why we just might knock out this mighty enemy of evil around us, even though we don't have much power in our own land today, because if it's God's will and Jesus wants it, it's going to happen. And there's no army, there's no cult, there's no secret society, there's no false church, there's no group that can stop God's will. And that's what we ask the Lord for. So Jesus, in speaking to Peter, Jesus said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And we all think that until the real trouble comes and our lives and our families' lives are threatened. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. So the Lord's letting him know, you talk a good game, but without the faith that I give you, you're going to see in your own strength, you're going to deny me three times, not just once. And he said unto them, this was to all his disciples, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, there are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. So we offer our lives up for the gospel, but there are times we are not meant to die. We are meant to survive, and we are always allowed to defend ourselves. So some people have taken this verse too far, as if Jesus would want an armed group of Christians to overtake a nation. That's not exactly what he's saying. But at the same time, Jesus doesn't promote pacifism. The apostles need to stay alive. Jesus made sure of that when the soldiers came to take him. If you remember, he knocked them down with his words. He threw them to the ground so they would be afraid enough. They would only take him, but he wouldn't lose any of his apostles, his disciples. And we see here that the disciples are to have weapons, because a violent time is coming, and they are allowed to defend themselves, not to be offensive. As Christians, we don't overthrow nations and governments. We inherit them when they collapse, just like the children of Israel did in the land of Canaan. But we are allowed to, as I've said, to defend ourselves. So if you want to come and grab us and throw us in camps with our children, without any justification, we can defend ourselves. We are never to hurt government agents or people in law enforcement, military, because they're part of us, and that doesn't promote the faith. Only in defense. We are not Islam. We are not some Christian movements that have gone awry and started revolutions. We are not children of rebellion or the revolution, but we can defend ourselves. This is what Jesus is showing here. And also we see that anything you think that you have accomplished, remember, it's only because of the will of God, as Jesus shows us here. So with that, we'll end our message today. God bless everyone. Be strengthened. Be strong in your faith. Never be discouraged. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for what you do. We thank you for who you are. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to intercede on our behalf, to always pray for us, Lord, because we need it. The same way you had mercy on Peter, who walked with you and talked with you and still had doubt. And we know, Lord, he had to learn that it wasn't through his power, but through yours. We pray, Lord, that you would give us that portion of the Holy Ghost to always fulfill your will, to be brave, to walk in confidence. And when we're scared, Lord, that you would hold us and give us reassurance. As you know, Lord, we all yearn for that. And we pray, Lord, you give us courage during these troubling times. We ask that you bless, Lord, the rest of our Sabbath day, that the rest of our worship time would honor you. And we pray, Lord, use us like Gideon. If it be your will, Lord, raise up a nobody once again to smash the Midianites and deliver your people from their unfaithfulness. We ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless everyone. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath and go in peace.